love. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, all will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
As Jacqueline hasn't actually spoken in a service before, although you may well recognise her, you jolly well ought to, I thought at least I ought to welcome her and give her a little bit of an intro. When I first arrived here, which in a sense wasn't the first time I'd appeared here, because in Carol's time I'd come here over various times for different lengths of time, actually, so quite a few people knew me anyway. But it was noticeable that when I first arrived here, I was greeted with, "Oh, hello, you're Carol's husband." Which I love being. So there was no problem saying, "Oh, yeah, I am. That's marvellous. Thank you." But there's a sort of that little thought inside, well, yes, I am a person in my own right, you know. Now, Jacqueline has actually admitted to me, you can guess what's coming, can't you? That people have sometimes greeted her with, "Oh, hello, you're Rob's wife, aren't you?" Which you're probably equally blessed at being, so that's great. Yep. Particularly since he's here this morning, so we'll, that's okay. But you are a person in your own right, as well as looking after Ellen and Jordan with Rob, which is good, which is full enough in its own right.
Yeah, you could say that.
we get a bit of a clue from there. You must have some reason for being qualified to talk to us about education. What's the reason?
I have been a teacher for 25 years, and in that time I have worked in many, many different schools on permanent long-term contracts, on supply, which is a whole new world, and have worked with lots of different children, all different types of children, in happy situations and in very sad situations. And more recently I've worked hugely with parents. And so Christians in education is just such a broad topic, but I'm hoping today I've just pulled a few elements out that have really spoken to me. And I think over the time, Lord has really pointed me in directions of where he's wanted me to work. And I have stopped teaching, which is both scary and exciting, because I know that there is a plan and bits of it are emerging, but I'm not sure what yet. I know part of it, but the rest is yet to come. So when Jeremy and Carol invited me to talk about Christians in education, I thought, actually, I could probably talk for a long time, but I'm going to keep it as succinct as I can.
Well, let's pray that blessing on you then. Father God, we do pray your blessing on Jacqueline, and would you give us open hearts and minds to receive all that you want to say to us through her, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Preach it.
Thank you. And I now have to put my glasses on because I'm at that age where I can't see anything unless I have them, except when it's distant. Now, for some of you, you would like to probably know that there are 19 slides and the talk is in three parts. My personal experience of being a child and a teacher in education, as well as some of the way that that Bible passage fits in to how I feel about education and a little bit about the work that I'm now undertaking with the Basingstoke Christian Education Network. So I have my clicker. Let's see if it's ready to go. I have my own personal one, if that one doesn't work.
Yeah, I'll look for the on-off switch.
Okay, that'll be good.
No, it was on.
It's on, okay. All right.
That one.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah.
Aha, thank you. All right, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Right, well, I should think that probably all of you sitting here have had some connection with people who are in school or in colleges, and they are places that employ a huge amount of people, let alone the students and the pupils that may be there. So let's have a look at some of them. This is quite visual as well, because I know lots of you will be visual learners. And I also recognise that there's lots of people in our congregation today who have worked in schools and colleges over a long time. So I'm hoping some of this will speak to you as well. So we may know people who are pupils or students, or may still be so themselves. We know people who are teachers, head teachers, teaching assistants, caretakers. So many people make up the life of a school. Cooks, admin staff, lunchtime supervisors, cleaners. I've been a school cleaner as well at one point in my life. Nursery nurses, school governors, and probably a whole heap more. And all have a different and very specific role in the life of a school. Now, we all have, I expect, without probably exception, experience of being a child in school. So therefore, we could say that we're all experts on that. Now, for some of you, your experience may have been absolutely brilliant. It may have been the best days of your life. It might have been all right, okay? Might have had some good memories. For some of you, it might have been the most unhappiest time of your life. And it may have been times where you might have struggled, or life may have seemed puzzling or challenging in your school time. Now, I can only talk from my own experience as a pupil and as a teacher, but all have brought me to the place where I am now. So in some ways, this is really quite personal, but I'm trying to put it in the context of broadness. So let's go back to the beginning. So I started education when I was 4 and a half. There's a picture of me with my brother. He was probably aged about 2 there, back in the early 1970s in Coventry. And school for me was okay. It was all right. I went to pretty ordinary infant and junior school. I had fun. There were a few struggles, and I found learning reasonably straightforward. And then there's me in secondary school. I was a blue coat girl in an inner city comprehensive school in the middle of Coventry city centre. They were happy days. And in fact, I'm still in touch with a couple of children who are in my class. There were good times. However, in the 4th year of that school, my family moved to Surrey. And I would say that was perhaps not such a happy time. It was a great time of change and indeed quite challenging for me. But reflecting on those memories of being in school, I realised that I didn't actually know who the Christian teachers were that I was in the care of. I had no idea. They didn't tell me if they went to church. They didn't tell me if they had a faith. But I do know the ones who had influence on me. I do know the ones who made me feel as if I mattered, the ones that took care of me. I don't remember a huge amount of what I was taught, funnily enough. I can't remember all the facts and details. I vaguely got the gist of it, and I did pass my exam, so I guess I did all right. But I remember how they made me feel. I remembered the attitude towards me. Mostly it was kind, although there were a few moments when I was in trouble. So, Oops. So, for example, I know this is going slightly into the realms of into Sunday school and into church, but church, when I was growing up, was massively influential on me. So I don't remember a huge amount of what my Sunday school teacher taught me. I was rubbish at doing memory verses. I still am not very good at remembering chunks of scripture, let alone where it comes from. So, but the thing that made me realise that I was important to the people who ran those groups on a Sunday morning was when they used to do those little things like invite you home for tea. So there we were, our group of sort of junior school age kids, and we were invited, but I don't even know what his name was, but we were invited back to his house. And what I remember very clearly, we had ham sandwiches followed by jelly and ice cream. Wow, we felt so important, and it helped us feel like we really, really belonged. And later on, when I was living in Surrey, it was the youth group leaders and it was the adults in the church who were hugely encouraging me as I started to think about the career that I might undertake. Oh, that was the old Camberley United Reformed Church. Little picture. That wasn't a very good one, actually, there, because now, of course, it's High Cross, because it was demolished for a car park, I think. And once the time came for me to go away to college, one of the adults in the church, I didn't really know her very well, she was called Andrea, and the elders decided that it would be really good to keep in touch with the young people going away, and so Andrea was assigned to write to me every term, and her letters were a massive encouragement too. So, when I was 18, I went off to be a teacher, trained to be a teacher in Canterbury, and I stepped into that wonderful adventure where you start your teaching career. So I did a degree in religious studies and education, and after 4 years, I took up my first teaching post in Folkestone in Kent. Now, at that point, I had an ambition to be a special educational needs teacher. And it wasn't far into my first term with that class that I started to realise that just about every child in that class had additional needs of some sort. And so, therefore, I already was being an SEN teacher. So, I was then offered a chance to be a science coordinator. I'm rubbish at science, but I think I did a reasonable job at it, probably because I had an understanding of that it was quite difficult for me anyway. And later on, I went to be an RE coordinator. In 1999, Rob and I moved to Hampshire, and having done a lot of supply across the town, worked in various different schools, met loads of different teacher friends, some of which I still go out for dinner with, and lots of lovely families and lots of really nice children. And later on, I became a SENCO, which is a Special Educational Needs Coordinator, so I did get that ambition. It didn't come about in quite the way that I expected it to, but there we are, and I had a special responsibility for pastoral care. And I began to, I suppose it took a while for the penny to drop, realise the influence that Christian teachers have on the children that they come into contact with. Oh, that's that one. Okay, now there are not many photos of me being a teacher. This is about the only one that I have. This is me dressed up as a fire person when the fire brigade came in to do a talk to the children. Usually I was on the other end of the camera, so I was the one taking the pictures rather than them being taken of me. But I think my classroom assistant took that because she found that quite amusing. Right, so even as a young Christian teacher, I did realise that I needed to be a living light of Christ in schools. And I think probably that passage in Matthew 5, verse 14, which we didn't read today, is one that stayed with me. The one that says, "You are the light for the whole world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. In the same way, your light must shine before people so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven." That was quite significant for me. But of course, there was also that one in 1 Corinthians that has actually become much more important when I thought about the words and how they relate to the work that I have done, particularly more recently in schools. Now, which we'll come back to in a minute. So once I started working more with families, I also started to see the challenges that they were going through, and it also provided a bit of a challenge for me too. So over 25 years in teaching, I have worked with many bereaved children and their families, from quite close family bereavements, including parent suicide and a baby's death. I've worked with many unhappy children. Children, particularly boys, that like to run off and climb up trees. I do hasten to add, it wasn't me that made them climb the tree. I was usually the one that was asked to go and get them down. I've worked with children who behave in unpredictable ways, sometimes because they have neural behavioural conditions, and those need an awful lot of understanding and extra care. I've worked with a lot of angry children, usually is the person that's been to help to de-escalate situations. I've been involved with warring parents as well. Quite a long time ago now, there was a punch-up in the playground. It wasn't the children, it was the adults. So all sorts of different situations that I found myself in that when I did my teacher training, I was never expecting to be involved in. I've also been involved in probably way too many child protection cases and have been to court for a child as well. In fact, I had to go twice because the chap who had assaulted him decided to appeal against his sentence. I've been there when children have been removed from their families, have been taken into foster care and then later on to adoption. So it was probably no surprise that I am now doing more work with adoptive families. I've worked also with children with physical disabilities. I learned how to fit a prosthetic leg. That is quite interesting activity to undertake. Again, something that you don't ever do in your training, but very necessary for that child to be able to get up and walk and join in with the activities of the other children in the class. But of all of these things, what I discovered was it was so important to have that understanding, to be that light of Christ shining in the classroom, in the playground, with the people that you meet, in the meetings that you have with professionals and with parents. Relationships are so important, and especially when life becomes messy. And when you're a teacher in a classroom, you really do see messy life. Taking time to listen and to understand with both parents and children, I hope that I made a difference. These situations were deeply challenging for me, but my faith gave me the strength to hang on in there and finding the love and the hope to keep the pieces together. Sometimes children and their parents as well, which I actually found quite sad, would say to me things like, "Nobody cares, I'm scared. I don't know what to do. No one listens to me. They don't like me." And you know, for some of these children and adults as well, they had never experienced the faith, hope, or love that Paul talks about in his letter to the Corinthians. And for many, they hadn't even experienced what it's like to be forgiven. When you're working with children who've been in trouble, in fact, sometimes children who have been have life histories that have left them deeply traumatised, they often haven't had that forgiveness. And as a Christian, I felt it was really important to react to them in a very caring and understanding way and to start to use that word, forgiveness. You are forgiven. And when you start saying to children, "Do you know, I'm sure your friend forgives you. You can be forgiven for this, and tomorrow is a fresh day." There's this moment of, really? Can I have that? it's almost a whole undiscovered country for some of these children. And some of the adults that I've worked with as well, their parents, they've often become quite lonely people and quite distant, maybe because their child has behaved in unpredictable and sometimes quite nasty ways to others. And when they start talking to you and you see all the real person there and you start listening to them, one mum did say to me, "Mrs. Marsh, you're the only person who really listens to what I have to say." Now, she was a mum who'd been in prison, and that really touched me. And that was an honour for her to say that to me. But I also felt a deep sadness that if I was the only person who she felt really listened, what did that say about her life? So, let's have a think about 1 Corinthians 13. Now, about 4 years ago, my lovely children bought me a present. You might have seen some of these in shops. There's all these things around at the moment. It's like love and home and hope that people put up on their walls. And I really liked this. It looks very nice on the bookcase in our front room. But what I liked about it most is this piece of scripture underneath. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love never ends. Now, that became, particularly over the last 4 years when I've been working with more challenging children, that became so important for me to notice, a little reminder for me in my living room, particularly when I'd had a bit of a tough day, that yes, I do need to be patient. I need to carry on being kind, and love never ends. There is always, always hope. So I looked at these verses a little bit more closely, and I guess I hadn't really realised that it needed to be read away from the marriage service, because I expect, as most of you know, that is such a famous verse for people to have at their weddings. I guess some of you here may have had it as part of your marriage ceremonies too. So if we take away the marriage link, bye-bye marriage link, and think of these words in terms of relationships, we start to see them as a bit more versatile. And it speaks very clearly to me about being a Christian in education. Right, let's have a quick look at Corinth to school. Okay, so Paul was writing to the people of Corinth. It was in the early days for the Christian church there, and sometimes it was not easy. Paul had received reports of the internal troubles in the church, and he responded with these words, reminding them of the fundamentals of their belonging to God and the importance of their responses to each other. So I've just picked out a few key phrases relating to faith, hope, and love. And for me, it's all about building those good relationships in schools. So, if I have no love, my speech is no more than a noisy gong or a clanging bell. I hope that when I was working in schools, the words that I spoke were loving, even if I had to be a bit of a putting down the boundaries for the children. There's good ways of doing that. There's gentle ways of doing that. It doesn't have to be shouted. Part of the word discipline is disciple, and that is about putting in boundaries and being a leader and guiding in the good ways. Love is patient, love is kind, it's not conceited or proud. Wow, if you're a teacher, love, really, you do have to have a lot of patience and a lot of kindness. Not keeping a record of wrongs, well, maybe not for too long. I like to think that for most children, every day is a new day. It's a fresh day to start again. It doesn't give up, and hope, faith, hope, and patience never fail. So, being a Christian in education has been very rewarding, and I think that if you are a Christian involved in education, you can be hugely influential in the relationships that you build with the people that you meet. So, now, after 25 years, it's time for a change. And I have sort of fallen into a new job. It's only part-time. It's one day a week. And I am now working for something called the Basingstoke Christian Education Network. I don't expect many of you will have heard about it. We're in what's called the fragile stages of setting up. It's just known as the BCEN. And it's all about promoting church and school liaison across the town, well, across the town and into the surrounding areas. I've been out to see churches in Bramley and in Tadley as well. And the idea is that we are going to be supporting schools in the SMSC curriculum. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But also matching up what schools need in terms of support, not necessarily with the curriculum, but just support across the school day, and matching it to what local churches can provide. And it is ecumenical too. Right. However, the focus for this year is to promote the work of Open the Book, which I know you will have heard of because it's happening in our own local schools, and we have a couple of people from church who are involved in that, and I had a great time visiting them a couple of weeks ago to see that in action. So BCN is working closely with the Open the Book team at the Bible Society to see if we can get that going a bit more across Basingstoke. You'll be pleased to know that already we have 5 teams across the town, and they're working about 6 or 7 primary schools. So it's really starting to take off. And as one school talks to another, they're starting to say, oh yeah, this is great. We really want it. We want some more of this, please. And that's part of my role, is to try and promote that and also to get some more volunteers as well. And the really good news is that on Tuesday, I'm going to be trained as a trainer from the Bible Society so that I can train people as they want to volunteer and want to join school teams. So that'll be great. It means for Basingstoke and our outlying areas that people can access the training very, very quickly. So it makes it much more accessible. So SMSC development, this is a big thing in schools at the moment. This is spiritual, moral, social and cultural education. And it's hoped that this will underpin all the curriculum areas in schools at the moment. It's been there before. It's been there actually probably since 1944 Education Act, but it's just got more prominence at the moment. Okay. Right, we're coming towards the end now. So this is where I want to talk to you about a little project that we'd like to set up as a pilot project, so that we can establish a really good way of a church team working in a local school. And for me, it made perfect sense to come and try and find something that might work with perhaps some people from this church that could work in our local schools. So it's going to be St Leonard's paired with Oakley Infant School. I've been talk to the head teacher already, and I've also spoken with Carol and Jeremy about this too. So what we'd like to do is set up a mini project. Now, there are already good connections with both of the local schools here in Oakley. And over the years, I know that many people have volunteered and have supported the work of both schools, whether that as a volunteer mums or whether on the PTA, loads of different ways the schools have been supported. But this is about doing something a little bit more specific. And it's a little bit chicken and egg. It's a bit, what does school want? What could church possibly provide? So we're going to be looking for volunteers who are available during the week to work as a team in our local school. Okay, so how to be a church team in a school. I think there's great power in a group of people going in together. You're known then as, oh, the people from the church are coming in on whatever time slot to do whatever is the chosen activity. So the idea is that you go in together. And again, it's matching available skills to school needs. It will be over a very specific time, so it's not like once you say you want to do it, you're going to be doing it forever. It's about going in and doing it, perhaps just for over half a term, for just a lunchtime, or just for an afternoon or a morning, something like that. There'll be some training, because we want people to feel confident about whatever the task is that we're asked to do. And that will include safeguarding and DBS checks. What we would really like to become is a walking expression of faith, hope, and love. So, what are the possibilities of doing these things within school? Now, these are activities in school with children. So, possibly reading, these are the well-known ones, going and help with the reading. But going in en masse probably has more of an impact. Helping with the sewing. Maybe you've got some art and craft skills and you'd love to be involved in doing some artwork with a year group. Or perhaps you're really great at card games. You know, card games and board games are becoming a bit of a lost art with children these days. Some children I've come across don't even know how to play Snap. Imagine if we had lots of children who knew how to play Snap, knew how to play Ludo, knew how to play Bingo. Just the fun they could have, really simple games that they could then go off and teach their friends to do as well. But how generous for people to go in and work with them. Now, there might also be people thinking, actually, I don't mind helping and supporting, but I don't want to be involved with the children. I'd rather do something that's a bit more a distance. So how about supporting a gardening project? How about cake baking? Sometimes staff need cakes delivered in Sats Week just to boost their moral. There's a big initiative called Prayer Spaces in Schools. This is about local churches who are very good at praying, pulling together resources and providing that for schools, sometimes on a short term, sometimes on a longer term basis. How about sticky back plastic? I mean, I know it's a bit love it or hate it, but some people might say, do you know, I wouldn't mind helping cover the library books for that school. They've got a new consignment due to come in. Okay, we might bring a big box full of them back to the centre, put the coffee on, and there we go, supporting school, but actually we're working together too. Maybe that you'd be a great pair of hands at helping run some sort of refreshment stall at some sort of event, and they would know that was the team from St Leonard's who are doing that. So how is a Christian presence different? Do you know Christian people are known for being peaceful, contented, people of integrity, and people of generosity? And there's something very appealing about that. I've had people come to me and say, do you know, Mrs. Marsh, there's something about you. There's that peace that you've got. And then they want to know more. So, over and above all, what we want to be is that walking expression of faith, hope, and love. Now, what I'm going to be doing is going back and talking to the head teacher at the Oakley Infant School about what sort of things she would like if we could support. Now, there is going to be a little questionnaire at the end of the service. If you would like to be part of a church schools team from here, then please fill in the survey and then pass it to me or leave it at the back or bring it back next week. Get it back to me somehow. Because what we'd like to do is set up a really good model of working that if it's successful here, we can then send to another church and say, do you know, this is how we set it up. This is how it worked. This is what it was like when we went into school. So it's setting up a model. So it's a mini project. And we're hoping that we can be on the part, we can provide the pilot for that. I think I've finished. Thank you very much.